Before we get into the our subject this morning, I kind of want to share some things with you in Jesus' name. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Verse 3. I'm going to read it from the Amplified, and then from the King James, and I'll read it. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Cocroft, lift a hand when you got it.
I got it.
You good? Okay. All right. Verse 3, King James, thou wilt keep him in somewhat peace.
Perfect.
I need y'all to hear that. The world craves perfect peace. Human beings crave peace of any kind. When I tell you, and I've told Word of Life this probably for going on 20 years, is that when someone on crack or who's an alcoholic or who's on meth or some sort of drug, they do not take that drug with the goal or the objective to lose their teeth, lose their dignity, lose their family, lose their job. They don't say, well, you know what? I'm going to start taking this drug so I can just become, you know, a derelict in society, a drain, leave my family. That's the goal. Not at all. Folks are trying to numb themselves to what's happening in their life, and they don't know what to do. I guarantee you that probably 95% of people who are strung out on drugs, they're trying to escape something that's in their life, that's in their mind, that's in their head, that's causing deep soul pain. We are so blessed to have the solution to not just peace, but perfect peace.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We are so blessed. We are so blessed. My. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. But here's the caveat. Here's the condition. Whose mind is stayed on thee? Why will his mind be stayed on thee? Because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, so as a result, trust ye in the Lord for good times.
Ever.
While everything is good. No, forever, period, flat out. End of discussion. For in the Lord, Yehovah, in the Greek, Hebrew, Jehovah, Yahweh, is everlasting strength. Let me read that from the Amplified. You will guard him and keep him. That's what keep means. Guard and keep him in perfect peace. He will guard you so that your peace stays constant. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you. Trust means to commit, lean solely, wholly on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So, as a result of verse 3, verse 4, trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him. How long? Forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. We know that phrase as the rock of ages. The Lord is calling us, Word of Life, to come up higher in Him. Period. We are being called upon by our Master to do better. That's just plain layman's terms. Do better. Love better. Live better. Think better. Speak better. Do better. I think that was T. Brand, Sister Rolanda. When you know better, you do better. That's just an old school saying. We know better because we get the word here. So we need to do better. And our responsibility to do better is great because we have been given much. And because of that, much is required.
Amen.
And we are not living up to the much that's being required of us. And I'm talking about myself included. I haven't told anyone, but I told Mother this morning. And when I told Mother, I said, you know what? At that point, I believe the Lord said, share this with the church. And that's why we're starting this way here this morning. The Lord told me something to this effect about a month ago. If you give me more, I'll do more. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if you give more of yourself to me, mm-hmm. See what I'm saying, Mel? Give me more of you, your thoughts, your words, your actions. Give me more out of each room of your life, Gregory Thomas Harris. Then I, the Lord, will do more through you for my glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I heard that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your
word. And the way some of you are reacting, that's a word for you too.
Amen.
And that's why we're stopping the whole service from the normal, what we're going to get into, is to tell you all that same word. He wants more from you. Give me more, and I'll do more through you. That hit me like a ton of bricks. And so in response to that, in obedience to that, what I've done is going back to the basic, which is get the word daily. Get it daily. Those of you who kind of work solitary on your job, if you can put one ear in, let that word be playing in one ear. You don't open because they may call you. You know, fella, do this, go over there. You know, you can't be like, man, I've been to the word. You drill it in, like, it's a bomb in it. You still drill into the word. You got to pull one out just for practical sake, amen? Sister Rolanda has instituted the one earphone rule to our students. You got two in and, you know, gunmen come in something, you know, they don't hear it all. But we're calling them going down the hallway, so-and-so. They just kept on walking. So she's instituted a one ear rule. But man, if that other ear can be hearing, if it's possible, I know everybody got jobs you can't do, but if it's possible, step it up so that you're hearing that word all day long. And that prompts you to meditate the word. Step up, Word of Life. If you give me more of yourself, I will do more through you. He's preparing us to be fit for his use. Why or how? By giving us boatloads of word for some of us for almost 20 years. He has the right to demand of us more. He has the right to demand of us more. Now, what does more look like? More looks like the root of the more begins in the mind.
Yes.
Let's go back to the scripture. Look at verse 3 again. Verse 3 again. Read from the King James. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind, and as Amplified says, whose inclination, whose character, whose mind, who all your innards. Remember, love the Lord your God with all of that? That's where that's coming from. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your inclinations, and all of your character has to be stayed right there on him. You're keeping the Lord Jesus on your mind. How? By keeping the word on your mind.
Amen.
Does that make some? What does that mean to keep Jesus on your mind? Good question. Glad you asked. It means to keep the word on your mind. You see, when you have the word rolling in your mind all day, every day, guess what's not in there? Junk, secular, humanistic ways of the world. So you don't have to like undo something that you heard, fight through that, deal with that for several hours or several days or weeks because you wish you hadn't heard it, but you've heard it now. You got to fight through all of that and let the word back up in there so that it can take the ascendancy. Well, while you're fighting all of that, I'm not saying you can't obey the word of God, but that's a major distraction. Keeping the word on your mind, having your mind stayed on the Lord, meaning remaining steadfast on the things of God and his word in particular, means that you are always ready. And if you are ready, you don't have to get ready. Man, I came up in here today, and even last Wednesday, because this was going on about a couple of weeks, two or three weeks, just come in just ready to explode because he's just constantly on my mind. I don't have to like, okay, let me flip over the mode. He's already there. And those of you who can go to sleep, I told you this years ago, if you can go to sleep with the word plan, let that be playing in your mind even all throughout the night. Step up getting the word daily and all day daily. If the Lord calls you to do a fast of food, TV, phones, make sure you fill that time with the word. Just don't not do that. The goal is not to just to not do that fast from the TV, the food, the phone. The goal is to spend more time with him. If you give me more, I'll do more. Amen. That's a word for word of life. He can't make that promise to. I mean, he can't make it to any church, but there's a lot of churches that's not being taught anything. But he can make that promise to us. I mean, he can make that, yes, promise to us. If you do more, because you have the capacity, because you know how to do more, how to do better. That's why my father was so disappointed. And that's why the gym teacher in third grade was so shocked. Because if you're Mr. Harrison's son, it's like, we're if you got, come on somebody, if you're God and the Father's son, Amen. We expect more. This is your son? Wow. Why? You're not acting like it. If you're Mr. Harrison's son, you know you shouldn't be acting like that. You see that? That's what he's saying of. Amen. You can do better. And you, I don't follow Sister Atlanta said, pray. We're not in your lives. We're not around where you are. But you know you. And with the Holy Ghost, you know how to be honest with yourself. You know areas. I hope he's talking to you right now in the middle of the sermon. Like where I can tighten up here. I can stop that. I need to stop that. I need to go. Don't go over there. I hope he's telling you right now. You're hearing it. I can tighten this up. I know I can tighten up. And don't get overwhelmed with 20 things coming to your mind. Just work on one. That's a word too. Amen, Sister Orlando. We can get overwhelmed and you're like, man, damn, I'm really messing. Just start in one area. That's just practical teaching. Just start in one area. Keep your mind on him. Let's come up higher. Okay, so now I believe I've been released to go ahead and get into the Word of God today. We're going to continue our series on the gospel. So let's turn over to our foundation text again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Talking about the gospel. See here, a few pages turning. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now I make known to you, and again I'm reading out the New American Standard. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which you also you are saved. Yes, we are saved by and because of the gospel. If you hold fast the word, there you go, that keep your mind stayed on here. Hold fast, grab that word, clutch it, don't let it go. Well, what does that mean, to hold fast the word? Can I, am I supposed to hold, clutch the word in my hands, my literal physical hands? No, we're talking about in your heart, grabbing it with your mind, keeping it in your heart, and don't let it go. Believe it, receive it, meditate on it, and do it. That's how you hold fast the word. Does that make sense? Yeah. Hear it, believe it, receive it, and do it. Constantly, consistently, and continually, that's the definition of holding fast the word. In which also you stand, do we not stand? Oh, I'm sorry. If you hold fast the word, which I have preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. And what is that? That Christ died for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In accordance with the scriptures. That's the glorious gospel of whose gospel is it? God. Remember 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. That's his gospel. We're picking up. That's review. Remember, all mankind has sinned. Man is born a sinner. As a result of man being born in sin and having sin, he is under the wrath of God, or the wrath of God abides, lives, and resides on him. And it is a literal impossibility for man to save himself. Why? Because all of his righteousness is as filthy rags. So, man cannot save himself. So, man is saved by grace alone. We went over that. Through faith alone. So we're going to work on sola fide. Faith alone, or only faith. Sola from solo. Fide, faith. Faith only. Faith alone. And of course, we know that faith, that trust is in Christ Jesus. So we stopped there last time. Let's go back to, did we do Romans 3? Okay, did we do Galatians 2? No, okay. Go back to Romans 3, please. Verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21. Man is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus. Verse 21, Romans 3. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. So all who believe, they put their faith, they were saved rather. All believe were saved through faith in Jesus Christ, his work. That's why the gospel deals with the person and work of Jesus Christ, because that is who we are saved through. Not a testimony, not all the wonderful results of salvation, but actual salvation is obtained through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's keep reading. The end of verse 22. For there is no distinction. Thank you, Lord. No, that is a blessing. Amen. Red, brown, yellow, black, or white. There is no distinction. Thank you, Jesus. There is so much distinction in the world and so much inequity and so much inequality that's built into the system that when you hear things like this, it is so refreshing. It's extra refreshing for me because the more study I do on from the toxic generational hatred and demon, doing more study now through the 1619 project, which I'm still recovering from, you know, the six podcasts, that's a few days recovered from that, because you just can think about the inequality, the inequity that's on purpose, the mistreatment. And when you read that there is no distinction, that is so refreshing. That's why that song, which we will sing soon, I am who you say I am. I cried like a baby every time we sing that song, Word of Life. Just a reminder. You are, I am who you say I am. You define me, not out here. Amen. Glory be to you. And whoever you say I am, that's who I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is no distinction. Verse 23, for all have sinned, red, brown, yellow, black, and white have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified, declared righteous, being declared innocent as a gift by his grace. Us being declared righteous or justified, remember, justified means being declared righteous, meaning that in God's eyes, we have been, all our sin has been taken care of. So we stand in God's very presence as being innocent or cleared of all guilt. And there is therefore now no condemnation. That's what justification is. We've been justified. And that happened. What happened? Our being justified is a gift by his grace. Remember, we're saved by grace through the redemption, here it is again, which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly. Who's the whom? Jesus Christ. Displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood. The crucifixion was a public display of the atonement for our sins, put on stark display. Now, if you really showed the crucifixion, they would have to rate it X because of the level of violence that actually took place. The beating and then on the cross. He, as I understand by all historical accounts, he had no clothes on. I mean, just absolute shame and degradation to humiliate and degrade. It was an on purpose public display as a propitiation. What does that word mean, my scholars? Payment, yes. Satisfactory. He satisfied his public death, completely satisfied God's demand for justice for our sins. He did it publicly for all to see. If you notice, quick side note, I'll make it quick. The Word of God does not describe all of the pain concerning and the horror of crucifixion, because that's not the point.
Right.
Have you ever caught that? He just says, and they crucified him. As a matter of fact, in literal Greek, on one of those gospel accounts, it's and the crucifying ones laughed at him. They just mention it almost as an adverb, as a adjective, because that's not the point. The point is that he was crucified. The point is that he shed his blood. And the point is the result of that crucifixion, glory be to God, the result of him shedding his blood, it satisfied the demand by a holy and just God who will not let one sin slide. It satisfied him. Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Mm-hmm. whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate, says it further, why he did it all publicly, to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over, some say winked at the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. We're saved by grace through faith. Our trust, our hope, our leaning on, our commitment, our depending on, our relying on is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you say thank you, Jesus, I hope it takes on a different level of meaning. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified, he's not declared righteous, he's not made right before God by the works of the law. No man can work himself into right standing before God. But contrasting conjunction through faith in Christ Jesus. How many times I keep saying it? I'm going over these all ad nauseum on purpose. Through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified, says it again, by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. He said in the beginning of 16 and in the end of 16. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. That clearly cancels out you thinking I'm good enough. Forgot who I was telling that to. Oh, the dean of students. Yeah. Nope, you can't work your way, sir. You're not good enough. I know you know by man's standards, you're a decent guy. You know, you help people, you care about people, and things of that nature. But you gotta realize, sir, that the God that we serve has a standard so high that it is an impossibility for us to satisfy him, because you have to keep the law perfectly all the time for life, forever, and never sin, not once. But even if you kept the law 99 9/10% of the time and less messed up just that 1/10 of 1%, you at that point you're deserving of it, because his perfect holiness demands that we keep the law perfectly. Now that's, I don't know if we, are you really hearing me? Can you realize that we don't ever do that? And yet he has the nerve to call us brothers and sisters? He's not afraid to call us his own? Always knows our name? When you walk up in the throne, when you come boldly before the throne of grace, he don't say, hey, who are you? Who let you in here? I don't know, never that. Amazing. Oh, boy. We ought to be treating folks so graciously that it's almost like we should never get mad at anybody. That's what hit me just so hard with this teaching. We've been just over-treated right by God. Undeservedly so. And then we get headaches and horrible migraines and sicknesses and things. That's what we deserve. And most of the time, we don't have those things. And when we do get it, we want to look crazy. Lord God, You've allowed me a whole bunch of days where I was feeling pretty good. And this, I'm feeling terrible this day. I thank you. May you be glorified in this as well. Because this is more closer to what I deserve, to be honest with you. To be honest with you, the wages of sin is death. If we get the wages of sin, it's not a migraine or a headache or the flu or, you know, bad relationship that messes your sleep up. It's death. Every good day, every sun that we get to see, the beautiful snow falling, all those are undeserved favors. Wow, that's called grace. We can go out and make a living, food on our table, clothes on our back. Grace. You actually do this in your house when you're with us tonight. I said, the light comes on. The lights actually work. There's some that don't even work.
Hello.
People taking baths, if they got a bathtub, in cold water because they haven't paid their little gas bill.
Ain't that water, big fella?
We are blessed. And we need to be gracious to other people. Be patient with them. And I'm talking to myself. We're talking to everybody up in here. Everybody. From the pastor down to the back row. Your relatives, your kinfolk that you just they, hey, newsflash, they're doing wrong. They're doing wrong. But be merciful. Don't be so locked in on their wrongdoing that you forget about the turn up telephone pole in your eye. And there may be a telephone pole worth of wrong in their life, but don't forget the pole in yours. Look at Philippians 3 and 9. This will be our last verse on the saved through faith in Christ alone. Philippians 3, verse 9. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, a righteousness of my own, derived from the law. Nope, not that, right? Righteousness of my own, derived from the law, is what we would call filthy rags in front of God. Unclean towels. Comma, but there's a contrasting conjunction. Not that, but this. What is that? But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That's salvation. The righteousness that we have received does not come from our own works, does not come from our keeping our own, of trying to do our own goodness and so forth, but it comes from faith from God through Christ Jesus. I think we've hit that very strong. Sola fide. Man cannot save himself, but instead he is saved by grace, sola gratia, through faith, sola fide, in Christ. Let's move on to the next one. To a man is a sinner, born a sinner. All have sinned under the wrath of God, cannot save himself. So he's saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. And the next one is solus Christos. Through, by, and because of Christ alone. Faith alone, in Christ alone, by Christ alone, through Christ alone, because of Christ alone. Let's kick off that with Matthew chapter 1. And you can even go on back to the Old Testament as well. I just chose to stay in the New Testament for this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Because you can start with, anybody know where we could start in the beginning of the Bible, my Greek scholars? Genesis 3. You know the verse? 15. Yeah. Remember the proto-evangel, the first mention of the good news is Genesis 3:15, where it said that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. That's the first mention. Can you see it? S-O-L-U-S. I got raggedy right. I'm sorry. Yeah. We're going to work on that, y'all. I really want to get something up here, but I got to try to figure out how to do that. And, do you know, we'll work on that. I may maybe prick your brain after church or something like that. I'd like to put a monitor up here. So we'll see on that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Mary shall bear a son, as the angel speaking to Jesus, Joseph rather. And you will call his name Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew. For he will save his people from their sins. We are saved by grace alone, sola gratia, through faith alone, sola fide, through Christ alone. He is the one who will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is the Savior that was promised way back in Genesis 3:15. Do you see that? This is now the fulfillment, the beginning of the fulfillment of that which was promised 2,000 years ago. Or 4,000 years ago by the time this happened right here. This is the coming to pass of a 4,000-year-old promise, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save, not might, not the odds in your favor, the odds are on your side. No, he will most definitely save, but look at this, his people. Everybody is not his people. And that's what people get bent out of shape of, and I know it's always tough to hear when we talk about unconditional election. Jesus didn't die for the world. He didn't come from the whole world for the whole world. He came for his people. He will save his people from their sin. That's guaranteed. If you're born again, sitting in this church today, you are his people. And if that's the case, his blood has saved you from your sin. That's good news. And therefore, the wrath of God no longer abides on us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Miss April, we may sing these songs again next Sunday. I can hardly even contain myself singing these songs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, but now I'm not. Mm-hmm. With your blood, you bought my freedom.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, I feel that down in my sanctified soul, Miss Felicity. Ooh, them apostolic priests start tapping that foot like that there because they know it's coming. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, with your blood, you brought my freedom. I was past tense a prisoner, but now I'm not. Not anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I hate when people are three steps to a better life. Five ways to get your Mercedes. 10 steps to your miracle. I hate that teaching. Because you know why? That 2:30 in the morning call, that none of that fluff will get you any help or direction. You know what I'm saying, Mill? Through that horrible call that you just got at 2:30 in the morning. What note you gonna go to? 10 steps to a better life. That's not gonna help you this time. Because this is not a better, it may feel like this is not a better life here. What do I do with this? This wasn't in the program. I hate that. Oh, you better know who your God is. Hey. And you better be in that word soul. Yeah. Remember, I've been begging you for 20 years. While there's relative calm in your life, please be building up that word in your heart. Let it be storing it up in abundance richly. Yes, yes. So you may not sin against him. And let him keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because you're trusting in him even at that 2:30 phone call. Amen. Lord God, I'm devastated by this call. So-and-so just died. Some was just killed. So-and-so in the hospital, ICU, suddenly, out of the blue. I need you right now, Father God. Thank you. Walk me through this. I know you're right by my side. The old song says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me along the narrow way. He does.
Thank you, Lord. You're with me right now. As you're getting on clothes in the dark, stumbling because you're trying to wake up. You're physically tired and trying to wake up out of your sleep, and you are dazed by the phone call all at the same time. You got to drive so many miles to UofM Hospital. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You better know who that God is, Word of Life. That's why I got to stay right to give it to you like it's supposed to be given. I got to stay right. When I beg you to pray for me, I'm very serious. Not just tradition. Well, pray for the pastor. No, pray for me. I need your prayers. And just being real, the pastor's on the front line every day. We're in the heat of the battle every day. And in particular, more specifically, you pray that my mind stay right. Do you understand? That's one word. Pray me specifically, Lord, keep his mind right. And you can get up off your knees. It'll be just like, Lord, keep his mind right. That's all I need prayer for, Mill. You feel me? Because if this is not right, you will see it. Those who are in the Holy Ghost and flowing and know and can discern things, you'll say, you know, I made right with Pastor. What's going on with him? You can best believe I let this go. I start letting it wander. Start seeing things all over here. Remember I told you, my little parable is, stuff is always going on in the peripheral. Always going on. I see it now looking straight ahead. But you know what I'm not going to do? Is do this. Or do this. I see it looking straight ahead. I'm going to keep my, it sounds like Hebrews 12 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. So I'm going to keep my eyes on him. I'm going to keep my mind on him. I see this, but I'm going to keep looking straight ahead. One of my favorite things to tell folks is stay focused. I keep saying it. That's where that comes from, Word of Life. Because there's so much to distract you. Happening all day, every day. All day, every day. Even when you're trying to go to sleep, stuff is on your mind that shouldn't be on there. Or trying to get in your mind that shouldn't be there. You're like, man, I can't even go to sleep as a child of God. Man, don't complain, fight. Amen. Don't complain, just start fighting. You can stand and say, man, I wish these bullets stopped coming on the beginning of Saving Private Ryan, first half hour. You can say, I wish these bullets stopped coming and fireballs and all that. Yep, get shot in the head. Stand in there wishing, nope. Grab a gun and fight. Shoot back. Don't be wishing that this, I wish it wasn't like this. It is. Now let's fight. Meditate that word. Speak that word. Hear that word. Do that word. Let it saturate your body, your soul, your spirit. And in the meantime, have an attitude of gratitude too in the midst of it. Father God, thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is born and that I am his people and that he has saved me from my sins. I thank you as I get ready to get, I put my clothes on. I thank you though that this didn't cause you to fall off the throne. I'm not sideways. But you're not. You already know. You already know what's going on. You already got the plan of the way to escape to get through this. In the name of Jesus. Talk to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. You either know who he is or you don't. When I beg you and I beg you and I beg you, take the time to get that word in your heart and mind so that you will not sin against him. When all hell breaks loose. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. There's not a one here who's untouched by troubles. You can best believe that Job says, man born of the woman, days are few and full of sorrow. Yes, in this word, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. Yes, troubles are going to come your way. The bottom line is not wishing that troubles don't come. It's being prepared to deal with them. Yes. When they do come. When they come. Not if. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He will save his people. We're saved through Christ alone. Look at John. The Gospel of John is in a short time left. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 6. the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 6. One of the verses I learned when I was like 5 years old, 5 or 6, I remember this verse forever and ever. John, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. I am the way. Jesus said to him, I am the way. Hold on.
Put this on the board. Let's put it in the big letters. The way, not a way.
Amen. I love April says amen with an attitude.
Amen.
Amen. Love that. I am the way. Because of many, and you've heard it before. Oh, preacher, you know, many ways, just like as many ways to get to Detroit. You go down 96, or you come up 94, or 696, you know. All of them get down there. Just like that, there's many ways to get to. No, it's not. That's a bad example. In fact, it's a lie. It's a heretical lie. It's not the truth. He didn't say, I am a way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No mankind, no one in mankind. Don't just think, man, what about the women? Don't get silly. Don't get silly. No one comes to the Father but or except or only through me. Period. Solu Christos. You must have faith, grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, through, by, and because of Christ alone. He will save his people. And that he who will save his people is the only way. Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, as we get ready to close. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Which further cements John 14 and 6. Acts 4, 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else. King James said there's salvation in any other. There's salvation in no one else. How clear is that? There's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There is salvation in no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is faith in Christ alone. Does that not explain the way? If there is salvation in no other, he's the only way. Skip down, slide over to chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, verse 42. Acts chapter 10, verse 42. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Is that not crystal, crystal, crystal clear? This is the one who God has appointed. That's why he is the way. He is the one and the only one who will save his people from their sins. This is the one. All the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone, not just some, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Everyone. Oh, by the way, everyone is red, brown, yellow, black, or white. It's amazing that the devil did a number on the white folks. You're reading these scriptures, those who really had the truth, but yet you didn't really include black people in there. That's everyone. All, every. His people. For there is no distinction. I mean, crystal words like there's no distinction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And we'll stop here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. My fault. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he, God the Father, raised from the dead, that is Jesus, glory be to God, comma, who rescues us from the wrath to come. That's what salvation is. That's what being a deliverer is. That's what being a savior is, to be rescued from the wrath to come. What does King James have on that verse, Mother, verse 10? What does King James say on verse 10?
And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath.
Yeah, delivered. So he's the great deliverer, the great savior, the great rescuer. He is the one who has rescued us from the wrath to come. Father God, we thank you that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. Because of Christ Jesus are we saved, rescued, delivered, set free. For that we are forever grateful. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, let every heart say amen. Amen.